It's gonna be scary. Not for us.
All engine running. Liftoff.
To Hart on Thompson, steps right, shoots for the win of three. He got it! He got it!
This ain't my first rodeo.
Westbrook to the basket. Turns Schroeder around. Russell Westbrook.
House the three and the lead. You betcha.
Covington, biggest shot of the game, and he hits it. The corner.
PJ Tucker.
Gordon by
Gordon Ranch.
It's time to accomplish something together that we haven't accomplished before.
We both understand that we have one common goal, and that's to win a championship, so.
Let's get it.
What is up, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get $10 off. That's 10 bucks off your very next order. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian and the founder slash managing editor of ClutchCityControlRoom.com, your home for all things Houston hoops. You can follow me on Twitter at JT Gatlin, the show at Locked On Rockets, and also the blog at ClutchCityCR. Now today, we've got a handful of smaller topics to get to today. I want to discuss kind of the MVP voting and what went on there, and with James Harden coming in a distant third to Giannis Antetokounmpo, who is now the back-to-back MVP award winner, and then LeBron James. And I want to talk a little bit about that, some of the comments from LeBron, as well as just in general the whole MVP voting process. Also want to talk a bit about PJ Tucker and just, you know, how he is basically Harden's ride or die. And then also want to get to a quick update with the Rockets head coaching search and a brief mailbag question at the very end. As I mentioned, we're doing a new setup for the mailbag where I will check every day before sitting down to record this podcast. I will check the reviews. I'll check my Twitter DMs. And if there's a mailbag question in there that doesn't have to do with the trade, because the trades are all going to be on Tuesdays. So if there's a mailbag question that you have that isn't related to a trade, I will tackle those on a daily basis. Now, if it's a trade-related one, I'm going to save that for the Trade Target Tuesday podcast. So that's the only distinction there. And I would like to throw one more thing out before I jump into my topics for today. I've had a couple people now who have commented on the, you know, in the review section of Apple Podcasts specifically, saying that this isn't a daily podcast. I just want to clarify, we are a daily Monday through Friday podcast. This isn't a 7 day a week podcast. It's not. Like, as much as I love talking Rockets and as much as I love talking Rockets hoops with you, I need a break too. I need a weekend. And so this is a Monday through Friday daily podcast. Now, I will say I missed one pod last week, but I went on Twitter, and that's why I say, hey, follow me on Twitter, follow the show. That's where all the updates are. I missed one last week, unfortunately, due to some personal logistics. So last week there were only four. But normally, on a normal week with no issues, no extenuating circumstances, it's a Monday through Friday podcast, and that'll be the case all the way up until probably sometime around the NBA draft, probably just after the NBA draft, we will fully switch to our quote-unquote off-season mode, where we will drop down from 5 episodes a week to 3 a week, so it won't be, you know, truly daily there, but it's daily in the sense that Monday through Friday, you know, the work week, Monday through Friday, business days, right? That's when we're active here. Now, if there has been, you know, in the past when there have been some bigger games, you know, sometimes I've passed on doing a Friday podcast in place of recording one Friday night for Saturday if it's a big game, or same thing Saturday for Sunday if it's a really big, important game. So there is some flexibility in there, but the idea is that we produce a show, or that I produce a show 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. So just to clear that up for a couple people, because I understand, you know, hearing, oh, it's daily, and then maybe you're expecting a Saturday and a Sunday podcast, but that's just not how it operates, unfortunately. So with that out of the way, I just wanted to address that very quickly. I want to dive into this situation with James Harden. So as kind of expected, looking through this NBA season, you know, Harden wasn't going to be one of the top two candidates for the first time in a few years in the MVP debate. And it was kind of nice. It's not that it's not nice that James Harden didn't win the MVP award, but it's just after years of just, you know, waking up every single day thinking, okay, did I jump on Twitter? Did I defend James Harden? Did I advocate for him for the MVP award today yet? Nope, haven't done it. Okay, jump on the bird and let's do that. It's been a bit exhausting arguing season after season about why Harden should be the MVP. So this year, you know, it kind of fell apart pretty early. He had a great, really strong start to the year, and then that really abysmal January kind of pretty much, you know, took him out of the MVP race, and Giannis and LeBron were kind of running away with it. Plus, let's be fair, the NBA kind of creates its, or the NBA media specifically kind of creates its own narratives heading into the season, and the narratives this season were absolutely, you know, Giannis going for his back-to-back MVP and LeBron, you know, having, you know, his partner in crime and AD and actually being a force with the Lakers this year. So those were kind of the two targets, I guess, for the MVP award, and it makes sense, but my issue is you go to the MVP award, the voting ballots, and Harden came in a distant third, sure. You know, Luka in fourth place, Kawhi in fifth place. But there were 15 media members, 15, who didn't even have James Harden in their top five. And that's the part that is so bizarre to me. The idea that you could, and I could look, if those 15 had even put like maybe Luka ahead of Harden and Harden down at like fourth, I could maybe understand that. But the fact that Kawhi load managed the entire season away, and Luka, see, I could see the argument from any of those 15 that didn't even have James Harden in the top five. I could see the argument for putting Luka at three and then Harden at four, maybe. But legitimately, that's the issue with like MVP voting and these narrative-based voters who they look at this list and they're like, okay, well, Harden, you know, maybe it's just, you know, this is where the bias, I guess, kind of comes in at is, you know, last year, James Harden talked about, you know, the MVP award and how he rightly felt like he deserved it over Giannis, came out, said all these comments, and he received a lot of backlash for that. Meanwhile, this year, LeBron James does the exact same thing, feeling like he deserved the MVP award, feeling like, it's disrespectful that he didn't get it, all these negative comments, and people are like, LeBron, you're so brave! We love you! You're brave! And it's just, it's ridiculous how much adoration he gets for the exact same comments that James Harden had a year ago, or a little over a year, whatever. The time is non-existent because of the pandemic, but you know what I'm saying. At the end of last season, you know, Harden had basically the exact same comments as LeBron regarding the MVP voting situation. And so this is the thing that I just don't understand, and it's just, it's wild. Some of the names included, with the people that didn't vote for James Harden are, hang on, I've got the list right here. Where did it go? Oh, that's cool. The list has disappeared now. That's what's up. There it is. All right. So the people that didn't have James Harden, even in their top five, Steve Ashburner from NBA.com, Tim Bontemps from ESPN, Shams Charania, which was a bit of a surprising one, from The Athletic, Royce Young, not a surprise whatsoever, Surat Sohi from Yahoo Sports, Royce Young, you know, loves to just, you know, trash on the Rockets and prop up OKC at all costs, so there's that. But really just, you know, this is the weird thing. Bill Simmons, no surprise there. You know, Bill Simmons not voting for James Harden in his top five. So this is just bias, and it's not like I'm sitting here thinking, oh, James should have been the MVP this year. God, no. No. LeBron and AD were firmly ahead of him in the MVP discussion, but my issue is just the double standard that is set for James Harden, where, again, LeBron gets to come out and complain about not being the MVP, and people think he's, you know, so courageous for doing that, and people are supporting the hell out of him. Meanwhile, and he's got Anthony Davis, another top five player on his team, who's arguably had a better season than he has, so how are you going to give the MVP to LeBron when AD's been more, you know, had a not leaps and bounds better season, but has been the Lakers' best player for much of this season? Yeah, it's still LeBron James, and when he steps up big, but LeBron kind of was able to sit back and kind of coast and let AD take the reins for a lot of this season. So I just think it's ridiculous, and I just wanted to highlight that and the situation going on, you know, with the MVP voting and all that, and the issue around LeBron and Harden, the double standard, all that stuff. So I just wanted to bring that to light, seeing as how that was announced on Saturday and our pods for the week had already been concluded by then. So I had to bring it up today, on Monday's pod. So with that, We're going to come up next and we're going to talk about PJ Tucker being Harden's ride or die. We'll also discuss some of the head coaching search and kind of the lack of news, unfortunately. But I do want to make a couple quick pointers on that front, and we'll get there in just one moment. And we're back here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. So do I want to do this before or after? Let's go. So my thing, bringing this thing up about PJ Tucker, PJ Tucker and James Harden's relationship is really that ride or die relationship. Like, they are absolutely best buds on this team. They are BFFs forever. And seeing the way that PJ Tucker comes to the defense of James Harden time and time again, whether it be on the court or even on social media in this example, is amazing. So, and this kind of leads into, and I'll get to my second point regarding this here in just a moment, but PJ Tucker jumped on social media on Saturday and basically put, you know, on his Instagram story, first click, all respect due to everybody, but... Here it goes. All respect due to everybody. Let's keep it real. Shaq and Tim Duncan used to get doubled in the post. Okay. But when you get doubled before you pass half, and then he does like the hands up emoji, like the I guess whatever, and then he goes, never mind, ... with a bunch of the laughing emojis. And he follows it up, all due respect to everybody though. And then he kind of signs off and says back to sleep. So obviously, you know, PJ Tucker is sitting here basically defending James Harden and the fact that, you know, he didn't get as many MVP votes, I guess, PJ felt like he should have gotten. Again, my personal belief is that Harden was the third place vote getter, and that was the perfect spot for him, I guess, you know, just based on how the seasons went for the Bucks and for the Lakers. It's hard to expect, you know, Harden to be in that MVP conversation, especially with that really underwhelming January and then just where those two other teams finished. In regards to the seeding race, the Rockets finishing at sixth before the bubble kicked in, and because the MVP award was based on how the teams played prior to the NBA bubble, that became an issue there. So it's not like I think Harden was robbed or anything, but PJ obviously just kind of coming in defending his boy, and I think that's just such a great relationship that they share. And specifically, like, the thing about it is, when everybody keeps making these trade suggestions involving PJ Tucker, I think PJ's probably an untouchable. And that sucks in the sense that, yeah, he's older, he's a bit long in the tooth. You know, maybe you could get something of value back for him if you packaged him in a deal with, say, like Eric Gordon or something like that. But Harden would have to sign off on a PJ Tucker trade. And to me, I think that because of Harden's gravity in the front office, because he has a say in some of these decisions, it's not like, you know, LeBron, you know, basically being the GM of the teams that he's on, but Daryl Morey, you know, and Tillman Fertitta do go to Harden and, you know, ask him, hey, you know, how do you feel about this trade? Do you want this part? They appreciate his input. And if Harden says that he doesn't want PJ Tucker to be traded, or if Daryl comes to Harden with a potential trade that involves PJ Tucker, I'm leaning to the side of Harden probably vetoing any of those trades, just because I think that we see it with Harden and pushing for Russ so badly. He wanted to play with one of his closest friends, and I think he and PJ have grown to be so close over these years here in Houston that the idea of trading Tucker is pretty much a non-factor for Harden. It's not on the table. And I don't think PJ Tucker's going anywhere. And then you see him, you know, posts like this on social media, unprompted, you know, just backing up James Harden. They're hanging out at Turkey Leg Hut after getting bounced from the playoffs. Like, these two guys are extremely close, and I'd be hard-pressed to imagine PJ Tucker getting the boot from Houston, even if it's to upgrade the roster slightly. So wanted to address that. And coming up in the next segment, oh, actually, I take that back. There's one more thing that I wanted to talk about with PJ Tucker. PJ was probably getting a little wine drunk this weekend, because during the Game 2 Lakers-Nuggets Western Conference Finals game, as Anthony Davis hit the game-winning three-pointer, the heart-wrenching three to seal the game for the Lakers and to hand the Nuggets a fat L, PJ Tucker jumped on his Instagram story and said, "I would have blocked that AD game winner." And I'm sorry, that's just hilarious because I'm assuming PJ must have been a little wine drunk at that point, because we know that PJ Tucker likes his wine. He had to have been wine drunk, because I'm sorry, PJ, there's no way in hell you are blocking Anthony Davis, all 6'11" of him, at the three-point line. Like, I had to laugh at that. And so, yeah, PJ was wilding out a little bit on social media this past weekend, but that's past that. But I just wanted to include that little fun tidbit in case you're not following the players on social media, which is always fun to do. I recommend it. It's cool to see, you know, what they post occasionally, and it's cool to get a glimpse into their personal lives, and to realize that these guys are more than just, you know, basketball players. These are fathers, these are husbands. You know, to kind of see what they do on a day-to-day. Some of them are significantly more active on socials than others, but still, it's a cool experience. I definitely recommend following them, checking them out on Instagram or Twitter, wherever you do most of your social media at. So coming up, final segment, I want to talk about the Rockets head coaching search, as well as get to our one mailbag question. We'll get there in just a moment after a quick message from our friends over at Built Bar. Protein bars are usually kind of hit and miss with most people, but it's time for them to become more of a hit than a miss, and you can do that with Built Bar. They have so many delicious, awesome flavors: raspberry, German chocolate, apple almond crisp, cookies and cream, you name it, they probably have the flavor. My personal favorite, the double chocolate mousse. These bars, they're not like regular protein bars. They're covered in 100% delicious chocolate. They're soft, they're easy to chew. They are great. They're not really protein bars. They're like a candy bar that's jam-packed with protein. They're, you know, they're great for the health conscious person, whether you're trying to lose or even just maintain weight. They're low cal, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, and absolutely amazing. If you're trying to maintain a keto diet, they are great for a keto diet. And you can check them out. Just go to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get $10 off your very next order. So again, that's promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at builtbar.com. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. If you're not already doing so, do me a huge favor, do the show a favor, do yourself a favor, and hit that subscribe button on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, wherever you listen to your podcast. Hit that subscribe button. That way you get immediate access to the episode as soon as I post it, rather than having to wait for me to jump on Twitter and, you know, hyperlink and do all that usual stuff. You just get the little bloop straight to your inbox, and then you're good to go. So this final segment, talking about the Rockets head coaching search, and it's more of a lack of news in the head coaching department, at least directly relating to the Rockets, but there are a couple tidbits that I want to hit on. So the first of which being Shams Charania reporting that the 76ers are moving forward with interviews with former Rockets head coach Mike D'Antoni, Tyronn Lue, assistant coach for the Clippers, as well as Billy Donovan, former head coach of the Oklahoma City Thunder. So the 76ers are already getting the ball rolling. They're you know, putting the moves in place to start interviewing head coaches. And meanwhile, we haven't heard anything from the Rockets, unfortunately. And this is a very precarious situation with so many teams in the NBA that have head coaching vacancies, where the Rockets just, they need to kind of get the pedal to the metal and find their candidate, because not only do they need to find their head coaching candidate, they then need to field an assistant coaching staff. And there's going to be some of those potential head coaching candidates that would make really strong, really great, like a really great lead assistant type person. So, you know, I'll bring back the, you know, highlighting the fact that, you know, Ben DuBose and I both kind of suggested Alvin Gentry as a potential lead assistant for whoever the new head coach is of the Houston Rockets. But if Gentry picks up another head coaching position somewhere else, then that's kind of out the window. So, and it remains to be seen, you know, Gentry, 65 years old, does he really want another head coaching position? Would he be more open to the idea of being a lead assistant somewhere, especially on kind of a ready-made contender like the Rockets are, or at least a ready-made fringe contender like the Rockets? Who knows? And that's the issue right now, is so much of it is all just speculation until we get even just a morsel of news. Now, I will say that Reggie Miller did jump out, you know, and kind of, he backed both Sam Cassell and Becky Hammon for the Rockets head coaching job. So it was on a media conference call, and With the Houston Chronicle. Basically, from the Sam Cassell portion, Reggie Miller said, Sam Cassell won a championship as a player with the Rockets. He's familiar with the organization and with the fan base. He understands veteran players and systems, and having been in the Western Conference, he knows their personnel. That's a guy the Rockets fan base can really rally around. And then as far as Becky Hammon, Reggie Miller went on to say, it's outside the box, which is what the Houston Rockets are. They went small ball. They're used to being on the cusp of changing things up. Becky Hammon has learned the Spurs way, which is a culture that is totally different from what the Rockets are. Maybe you need a culture change, and what better person if you want to be on the outside and break the gender barrier and change things totally? Why not push the boundaries? You pushed the boundaries when you went 6'7" and below and brought in Harden and Westbrook and played ISO ball. Why not push it more and hire Becky Hammon? I think she would be a fabulous coach. So those are the words from Reggie Miller discussing, you know, the idea of Sam Cassell or Becky Hammon as the Rockets head coach. And kind of one of the things that he touches on there, right, is, you know, bringing in somebody with an ideology, with a philosophy that is totally different from what the Rockets are, what they do. And I think that whoever is brought in needs to be kind of against the grain a little bit. I am a firm believer of that, because what we've seen now 4 years in a row is we haven't seen this philosophy win. And unfortunately, you can point to a lot of extenuating circumstances. You can say, yeah, but the 0-27, yeah, but Chris Paul's hamstring, they were so close. But I think the thing too to look at for specifically the 2017-2018 year is that Rockets team was such a good defensive team. And it was a good defensive team because of lead assistant Jeff Bezelic, and it was also a good defensive team because of the role players and the way that that team was structured. And then going into the playoffs, remember, they basically phased out Ryan Anderson because he became unplayable in their switch everything scheme. And so they basically had all plus defenders on the court at all times, except for James Harden, who even then was kind of at the time a more neutral defender, not quite a plus, not quite a negative, but a neutral defender. And so you surrounded Harden with four, you know, with a bunch of shooters, with Clint Capella for the lob threats. Everybody was a plus defensively. That Rockets team was a top 10 defense and a top 10 offense that year. That's why they were so good. And then you come back the next year and you try to replace, you know, those significant role players. You know, you try to replace Ariza and Bamute with Michael Carter-Williams and Carmelo Anthony. And it just, obviously, we know how that kind of panned out the following season. So looking at this current roster where you know, adjusting this roster and bringing in, you know, a bunch of 3-and-D talent or trying to upgrade it by trades is going to be extremely difficult. Still doable, but difficult. So bringing in a coach who kind of brings that philosophy with him or with her to kind of shift the culture of the Rockets a little bit, it's tough to make a huge culture jump or a culture shift in one offseason, but this Rockets team doesn't necessarily need a drastic overhaul. They just need somebody who can, again, I think, go against the grain a little bit and kind of be, kind of change, you know, change up the status quo as far as, you know, with Morey and with Harden and with the head coach constantly being aligned in their approach to the game, bringing in a head coach that has a differing viewpoint that can say, well, you guys have done it this way. Let's try it a little bit this way and see how it goes. And I think that could lead to some success, could be the jolt that this Rockets franchise needs to potentially get over the hump this next season. You know, and it's tough with a brand new head coach, but we've seen it be successful. Think about Nick Nurse. You know, Dwayne Casey, coach of the year prior, gets fired. They bring in Nick Nurse, and the Raptors immediately win a championship. So it's not that Mike D'Antoni was a bad coach. He had his issues. He had areas where he, you know, where we wish that he could have been better, but it's not that he was a bad coach. It's that maybe just he wasn't the right coach for this roster, for this iteration of the team. Now, I did mention we have a mailbag question to address. So from WB Briggs, I'll paraphrase a little bit, but just the idea that conditioning has been slash will be the determining factor in winning and losing the bubble games. And Briggs continues to point out that, you know, no team, once the finals are here, will be at this conditioning level had the traditional season just continued along its normal path. And I think that's an excellent point. You know, thinking about the teams that really did take the hiatus seriously and came back in shape and were, you know, were actually using their time off as a method to, you know, rest, to recover, to recoup from any potential injuries. And then, but not only that, to make sure that their conditioning was at the right level that they needed to be at. But I'll raise it a couple more notches and talk about a team like, say, the Nuggets, who have been forced to play multiple game sevens, you know, throughout the playoffs. That's a team who hasn't gotten any rest. They were talking about it on the broadcast, talking about how the Nuggets haven't even had a formal practice, or they had their first formal practice in like over a month since the playoffs had started, because they're playing every other day consistently. So yeah, conditioning is a huge part of this year's playoffs, and there were some teams that took the hiatus seriously and did a great job staying in shape and getting their bodies, you know, perfect for the bubble games. And there's other teams that just didn't take it as seriously as they probably should have. And those were the teams that, you know, definitely struggled, you know, with, you know, getting, you know, going down the stretch of games, third and fourth quarters, you know, being a bit more gassed. You know, I think we saw that at stretches with the Rockets, even in James Harden's, you know, intense offseason workout regimen to get his body in the best shape that he's ever been in his career, there were still points in the bubble where, you know, you're looking at James Harden, you're like, man, it's like late third, early fourth, and he's already gassed. Like, what the hell? And so, you know, conditioning is a huge part, not only in these bubble games, but it's always been a huge part of, you know, the NBA playoffs. And it's a grind, you know, going through the 82 game season and then getting to the playoffs and having to continue to grind and have the increased workload against harder competition. That's absolutely a factor in these playoff games and, you know, has been historically. So appreciate the mailbag question, WB. Thanks for throwing that in there. So again, reminder, if you have mailbag questions, drop them in a review, DM them me directly on Twitter, however you want to do it, and I will address them going into each and every episode. But for today's episode, that's going to be where we wrap things up. So as always, thank you so much for listening, and we look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.